NASA weighs options for repairs to Endeavour's heat shield. A computer glitch strands thousands at LAX. And airlines try to pass blame for June delays. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation from Monday, August 13, 2007. A detailed inspection Friday of the heat shield of the shuttle Endeavour detected a potentially worrisome gouge in the tiles near the orbiter's starboard main landing gear door. NASA says the damage may have been caused by a chunk of ice falling from the shuttle's external tank during launch. The agency says that if necessary, astronauts on Endeavour will conduct a spacewalk to patch the damage, a process devised in the aftermath of the Columbia tragedy. For the first time ever, the crews activated the station-to-shuttle power transfer system on Friday. That SSPTS, as it's called, is designed to reroute power from the station to a visiting shuttle. If the transfer system works as expected, mission managers could elect to extend the mission from 11 to 14 days and increase the number of spacewalks from 3 to 4. Computers. Can't live with them? Can't live without them. The latest major aviation-related inconvenience to be blamed on a computer glitch happened Saturday at Los Angeles International Airport. The LA Times reports more than 20,000 international passengers got stuck for hours when U.S. officials were unable to process their entry into the country. Trucks buzzed across the tarmac to refuel jets to keep their air conditioning running and pumping out their lavatories to avoid the other big problem that happens in tarmac strandings. The computers reportedly went down about 2 p.m. Saturday, and the last of the delayed passengers was finally cleared at 3:50 a.m. on Sunday morning. The Times carried photos of waiting relatives packed like sardines in arrival areas. Parking lots remained clogged all night. Passengers finally cleared late at night found restaurants closed and vending machines empty. Peter Gordon, the acting port director for customs, called it, quote, "probably one of the worst days we've had. I've been with the agency for 30 years, and I've never seen the system go down and stay down for as long as it did," unquote. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association notes the Department of Transportation reported again last week that airline flight delays in June were worse than either May or June of last year. The airlines seized the chance to again claim that it's an outdated air traffic control system and an unfair funding mechanism that's responsible. AOPA President Phil Boyer responded, quote, "The facts clearly show that the airlines' own scheduling practices are a major cause of the problems, and they can't expect ATC modernization to cure all ills," unquote. AOPA analyzed the June airline schedules at all the major airports. At 17 of 35 hubs, the airlines have scheduled more flights during their daily pushes than the airports can handle in instrument weather conditions. It doesn't take a thunderstorm to delay flights across the country. Just have visibility drop below 3 miles or the ceiling below 1,000 feet at one of these 17 major airports, and flights will be delayed. Some of the worst airports for overscheduled airline flights include Chicago O'Hare, Atlanta Hartsfield, Newark, John F. Kennedy, Minneapolis St. Paul, Salt Lake City, San Francisco, and Las Vegas McCarran. As Airbus has endured catastrophic delays in development of its two newest designs, officials at Boeing have been careful not to gloat. Today, they're probably glad. Citing unnamed sources, a Seattle newspaper reported Thursday that the first flight of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner has now slipped to sometime in October. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer said that systems integration issues are to blame. The paper's sources said engineers are experiencing difficulties installing flight control systems and software and getting those components talking to each other in the highly integrated airliner. On Friday, Boeing spokesman Yvonne Leach said the company is still targeting late September for the first 787 flight, but conceded that that date could move into fall. The company said in a release last week, quote, "We remain on schedule for entry into service in 2008. Since recovery plans are in place, our overall assessment is that we are on schedule," unquote. So far, Wall Street analysts appear to be placated. Up next on ANN, the Embraer 195 gets its U.S. certificate. Lockheed Martin says it overbilled the Pentagon for the JSF. And the U.S. Air Force orders 60 more Raptors. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies and high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 13th, 2007. On the web, find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. ANN learned on Friday the Federal Aviation Administration has issued the type certificate for the Embraer 195 jet. That means all four planes in the E-Jet family are now certified by the world's three main aviation safety agencies. As ANN reported, the largest aircraft ever produced by Embraer received the original certification by the Brazilian National Civil Aviation Agency and European Aviation Safety Agency certification last year. The E-Jet's basic configurations, certified by ANAC, ESA, and the FAA, are exactly the same and do not require any aircraft changes when moving planes from one geographical region to another. That's a drawing card for leasing companies and a plus to the airplane's residual value. Embraer says its 195 is the most efficient 110-seat aircraft currently flying, having three major market applications: low load factor narrow-body flights, an excellent alternative for low-cost operations in medium-density markets, and a cost-effective substitute for old jets. It has a maximum seating capacity of 122 passengers, a range of up to 2,200 nautical miles, and burns up to 45% less fuel than comparable older jets. Lockheed Martin, ever sensitive to any whisper of impropriety in government contracts, notified the Pentagon last week it discovered an inadvertent billing error on the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program and says it plans to repay the overages to the tune of $265 million. The Wall Street Journal reports the overbilling dates back to 2002, just after the JSF contract was awarded. The charges pertain to invoices on work performed by Northrop Grumman and BAE Systems, both subcontractors to Lockheed on the Joint Strike Fighter. Lockheed, which is the military's largest contractor, took pains in its statement to make clear that those two companies were not responsible for the overcharges. Northrop assembles a portion of the F-35's center fuselage and is involved with many of the aircraft systems. BAE builds the aft fuselage and empennage assemblies, as well as the aircraft's avionics. Lockheed said it will soon repay the overcharge with interest and that the error will not impact the project's schedule or budget. Air Force officials signed a production contract last week with Lockheed to add 60 F-22 Raptors to the Air Force inventory by December 2011. The multi-year deal for the fifth-generation fighter will save the Air Force $411 million, compared to a traditional program of three separate single-year contracts for 20 aircraft each. That's according to Air Force Print News. Major General Mark D. Shackelford, Director of Global Power Programs, says adversaries of the U.S. are closing the gap in fighter technology. Quote, "The procurement of the F-22 is another crucial step toward staying ahead of our adversaries' technological advances. While we continue to plan for today's fight, we must also posture for tomorrow's war. The F-22 is a key part of U.S. combat power, and it will be a key part of joint air dominance for years to come," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board suggests a recent accident involving a Lancair 4 appears to have been caused by an improperly secured oil line. The accident resulted in serious injuries to the pilot, who was flying alone. The NTSB's preliminary report on the August 1st accident states that at about 4:15 p.m. Central Daylight Time, a Walker Lancair 4 being flown by an airline transport certificated pilot was destroyed when it collided with terrain southeast of Sylvan Grove, Kansas. Visual meteorological conditions prevailed at the time. The pilot was seriously injured. The cross-country flight originated at Junction City, Kansas, and was en route to Santa Barbara, California. FAA inspectors who examined the airplane at the accident site reported finding evidence of catastrophic engine failure due to oil starvation, induced by an unsecured oil line to the wastegate actuator as part of the turbocharger system. The same plane and pilot were involved in a 2003 landing accident. The pilot reported he was following another plane on final and had to perform S-turns to increase spacing. He said the runway was narrower than he was accustomed to, causing him to misjudge his altitude. No mechanical malfunction or failure was reported in that accident. Still ahead, Boeing settles with its union at Kennedy Space Center. Gulfstream's G-150 sets three new city pair records. And Spirit Airlines is leaving Detroit. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 13, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. Boeing says it's reached a new three-year collective bargaining agreement that affects 92 employees of the checkout, assembly, and payload processing services program at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The new contract that took effect at 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning followed 6 days of negotiations. Boeing presented its best and final offer on August 7th, and the union's leadership recommended the members vote to approve. Under the CAPS contract with NASA, Boeing's responsibilities include payload processing, mission cargo preparations, testing for launch vehicle compatibility, post-mission payload extraction, and operation and maintenance of associated facilities and ground systems. The Boeing payload team operates out of Kennedy Space Center's processing facility and various clean rooms used for satellite processing. Boeing crews and teammates have processed every space shuttle payload, a legacy that began with Columbia's maiden flight in April 1981. About 535 Boeing personnel and 300 subcontractors and partners support Boeing on its CAPS contract. A Gulfstream G-150 business jet has established three new city pair speed records on runs from Los Angeles to Maui, Maui to Las Vegas, and Las Vegas to Savannah. Piloted by Michael Jarrett, Gulfstream International Demonstration Captain, and Chip King, Gulfstream's Senior Production Test Pilot, the G-150 carried four passengers at an average cruise speed of 0.79 Mach on the first two legs and 0.81 Mach on the third. The G-150 was introduced in 2002 and can accommodate 6 to 8 passengers comfortably. The first G-150 made its first flight May 3, 2005. The plane received type certification from the Civil Aviation Administration of Israel and the FAA in the U.S. on November 7, 2005, and was delivered to its first customer August 14, 2006. Gulfstream has submitted an application to the National Aeronautic Association to confirm the new records. The carrier that became Spirit Airlines started out 27 years ago in Detroit, but last week, the airline announced significant reductions to its presence in the Motor City. The Detroit Free Press reports the airline made two announcements. One, that it will outsource its Clinton Township-based reservations call center starting August 31st. And second, that it will move its pilot operations to Florida by October 1st. Closing the call center will eliminate about 130 jobs out of several hundred Spirit workers in Michigan. The airline will move its Detroit pilot operations to Fort Lauderdale. Southeast Michigan is home to about half of Spirit's 450 pilots. Spirit says there won't be any changes to the airline's flights to and from Detroit Metro Airport. Matthew Noel, spokesman for Spirit's chapter of the Airline Pilots Association, says the moves are due to economic realities, but notes that this could throw a wrench into contract talks between pilots and the airline, which have been underway for 10 months. Detroit pilots will now choose among a move to Florida, commuting, or leaving the carrier. Noel says he'll fight to make sure Michigan-based pilots retain the option to commute. Quote, "People can't just up and sell a house tomorrow in the Detroit metro area. Plus, real estate in Florida is 2 to 3 times more expensive," unquote. Spirit was founded in Detroit in 1980 as charter tour operator Charter One. Finally, Northwest Airlines is looking forward to retiring its aging DC-9s, and perhaps none too soon. Judy St. Clair of McFarland, Wisconsin, told WISC-TV her story. Quote, "I was coming out with a laundry basket, and I noticed a piece of metal in my yard, a large, large piece of metal in my yard, and I thought, oh my goodness, that looks like an airplane wing. But I thought, how can that be?" Unquote. Meanwhile, earlier in the day, Northwest Airlines personnel in Madison discovered a missing wing fairing on a DC-9 that just arrived from Detroit. Northwest Airlines spokesman Dean Briest stressed that the fairing reduces drag, that having it missing did not compromise safety, and that the airline wants to make sure the part in the St. Clair's backyard is the one missing from their DC-9 before commenting further. But Judy certainly seems to feel less safe. Quote, "It's not every day that you think about walking into your backyard and having things fall from the sky," unquote. Hey now, at least it wasn't the dreaded blue ice. Now, that stuff's heavy. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk about teaching moments with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.